If Davy Byrne starts running, lads, with the ball, there's absolutely no chance of me catching him. I don't think if I drove a Fiesta after him, I'd catch him.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Right, it is time to talk some rugby. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good. We've talked about a bit of Rainbow Cup in a minute and maybe a bit of line stuff as well. Tadhg Furlong, though, on the contract, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about that just yet. Last of the big names, I think, to be tied down at this stage. It's a one-year deal. Fans, obviously, Ireland fans and Leicester fans would have wanted him locked in maybe for 3 years. Not quite how it works at the minute.
No, it's a little bit... not the ideal situation for Leinster. I think they would have loved to have tied him down for a few years and Ireland. Given the World Cup is the year after next, it's not that far away, 2 years out from a World Cup. So that uncertainty again comes around the door, comes around very quickly, probably next, November, December, those conversations will start happening again about extending. So it's the player is happy with it. I think he's come out and said he's comfortable and happy with it. Maybe he wasn't getting what he thought he would get and what he probably deserves, being a tight head and being at the level he's at.
He's never going to tell us anyway, Quinny, if he's not happy with it.
No, but I think I think what he said himself is he's taking a chance himself, because if you lose form, get injuries.
Yeah.
He's a fella chomping at the bit, really, with Porter right behind him. Things can change very quickly. That can work both ways. And I think he's very relaxed about that. And I think he possibly would have went somewhere for the start of next season if things were different, if the pandemic wasn't there, and there would have been lots of big offers on the table for Tadhg Furlong at any stage. But I think they mightn't have been as big and as many, given everything that's happened. It indicates that he's still open to the idea of maybe going abroad or looking at something else. Or, you can look at it so many different ways. But I think the positive is he signed up for another year. I think the next contract, he's either going or he's either staying for see out his career here, because, he'll be 29 next year.
Still young enough for his position. Like, he could have another...
Very, very young, yeah. If he went this year, he's 28 at the moment. You could easily see Tadhg Furlong going for 2 years, coming back and, having experienced that. And the market is massive for tight heads, and they're hard to come by. And he's a world-class tight head, who's a footballing tight head as well. So he seems pretty comfortable. We can all speculate outside that.
Yeah.
And maybe the RFU weren't putting a long-term, big contract in front of him. And it's understandable. They've lost a lot of money. Crowds
hard
come back.
When there's redundancies come back.
And things change, So, look, it is what it is for a year. Ireland and Leinster will be hopeful next year. Well, it'll probably be 6 months' time. They'll be going at this again. So they'll hope that they can tie him down for a long-term contract the next time.
I remember about 15 years ago when everybody caught on to the fact that John Hayes was the most important player in Irish rugby at that time. Is Tadhg Furlong the most important player in Irish rugby at the minute?
He's right up there. I think you saw his performances when he came back into the squad for the Six Nations. He's a superb player. I think that obviously the fundamentals of what you have to do as a tight head is scrummage well, do your job in the line-out, be a decent carrier and defender, but his skills are exceptional. Sidestepping, offloading, passing. He's a very skillful rugby player. So he is right up there with being one of the most important, if not the most important.
Not bad in the scrum either.
Well, the scrum is fantastic. And that's the most important part of being a tight head. So you've got to lock out the scrum. But I think with Porter behind him, I think that keeps him on his toes as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
when you go back to what you say about John Hayes, there probably wasn't the same level of competition right behind him. So Porter's top class player, and that's been proven by his selection on the lines. He was outstanding for Leinster and for Ireland when Furlong wasn't there.
Would you make a Sexton-esque exception for Tadhg Furlong if he ever did go and move to England or France?
I don't know. Before I would say no, because I was fairly adamant that the floodgates will open. Things have changed. We haven't had the results in the last 2 years. This debate has come up a lot. Should we have players playing abroad? And would that broaden our horizons, give us different perspectives? Would it improve the players themselves? You know, that debate will rumble on. I would find it very difficult if an Ireland team was being picked and Tadhg Furlong was playing in France and not being selected. I think he's that good. But, you know, then the RFU may argue and say, well, Andrew Porter is there next in line. And then you have the problem after that, where you have that gap again. We've spoken about Murray and Sexton for years, the gap behind them. So it depends. I think the RFU will maybe a little bit more open to this in the future, because the financial hit, it's going to take years to recover from it. So I don't know. I'm divided. I'm kind of sitting on the fence in that, because I'm nervous about doing that if you start picking players abroad. And I know lots of people think we should, but for the reasons that the RFU highlight, that we keep the players here, you know, they may get 50 grand more or 100 grand more abroad on that contract, but weighing up the option of match fees for Ireland, a little bit of commercial stuff here, rest and recovery and all that stuff, the benefits, the attraction, and it keeps that attraction strong to stay here when you have a decision like that. Obviously, some players like Simon Zeebo wanted a change of scenery. They went, he wasn't picked. There was more emphasis put on it. People often bring up the Johnny Sexton thing, but it wasn't really something that was pretty firm and direct as regards a decision back then. It was after Johnny came back, and I think Joe kind of and the IRFU themselves said, look, we've got a, it's not a law or a, but it's more of a policy that we're not going to pick players abroad that are abroad, because it does keep the provinces strong here. You know, Tadhg Furlong is someone that Leinster would hate to lose. He's a top class player. Aside from his performances, he's a high-profile player in the squad. So it'd be a shame to lose him. Mm-hmm. It would weaken Leinster's hand in Europe a little bit. So I don't know. I'm still divided on it. Part of me thinks maybe it has to happen, and maybe these players need to experience different leagues. And would it benefit the Irish team? You and I were both at the World Cup, and it was probably something we spoke about after the disappointment of that. Maybe it's something that would benefit. So if it happened, I wouldn't be jumping from the rooftop saying it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Maybe before I would have. I'm still just unsure about it, because the last thing you want is some of your high-profile players moving. And if that happens, if that thing is relaxed, I guarantee you the French and the English clubs will come knocking for the top stars here.
One other Leinster man I wanted to ask you about this morning, Alan, was James Ryan. Obviously, there's been a lot said about why he didn't make the lines over the last little while. People have put it down to form. People have obviously pointed some of the injuries that he's had. Gordon Darcy this week in the Irish Times has put it down to, well, one of the factors he's put it down to is the style of play that James Ryan is carrying out at the moment. He said he is not playing a game that is getting the most out of his skill set. He mentions the one-out runners and James Ryan getting involved in that sort of game. His ball carrying has become readable, and that he's not looking for options in a way that he is used to. One-out ball carries are not necessarily the strongest part of his game. Is that something you'd go along with?
It would have concerned me a couple of years ago when he burst onto the scene. It was just incredible. The energy, the enthusiasm, the work rate through the roof. His tackle technique, his ability to dip low and carries and find a little bit of space. And even off rock solid defences, he seemed to be able to wriggle through, and his timing onto the ball is exceptional. So you don't want to take away from that. But obviously, if the opposition are analysing James Ryan, right-hand ball carrier, you know, long, low body position, they'd defend it better. He's not an upright runner who runs very high and can be hit around the midriff. He protects himself very well by going a little bit low just before the point of contact. But yeah, you could, you know, there is relevance to what Gordon is saying there, that it is a bit predictable, and that maybe James Ryan is a second, or that you'd like to get a little bit more in space, get him running off the out half, or getting him in wider channels. But you can't take away his natural instinct to be close to the ball and to the timing he runs onto some of those carries. So some of it is down to a collective problem that we haven't been as dominant and cohesive as maybe some of those games in Ireland. And I think the La Rochelle game is a bit of a once-off. For sure, you're coming up against a very, very powerful side. And I said this beforehand, Will Skelton can cause problems for any team. And typically, you think the way Leinster play, they move the ball a lot. But there's probably a bit of wear and tear there. But the reality of it is, he's been out for a long time. He's had a couple of head knocks. He hasn't played. It's very difficult at times to come back into a match of that magnitude and just be hopping off the sod. It's not always possible. You need the rest of the team playing really well, and you need to kind of seamlessly slip in behind that. And unfortunately, on the day, Leinster, started the game brilliantly and then didn't manage the game, and it went against them. And then there's way more scrutiny on James Ryan. I think James Ryan just needs to play games, get back, get his match fitness back up. But maybe be conscious of some of those carries, that they are being defended very aggressively and he's attracting two-man hits and stuff like that. So it's up to the coaches to work a little bit of movement and try and utilise him in maybe in a better way.
Will you take on that point, Quinny? Because I wondered about James Ryan himself over the last couple of weeks when he's looking at all this, and suddenly people are talking about him in a slightly different way than they had been up to this point. You know, he was this phenomenal player, like once in a generation talent, Lions captain, and suddenly everybody's analysing James Ryan's ability to carry the ball and all this sort of stuff. Do you think that he will be sitting with his coaches at Leinster in Ireland and saying, how can I kick my game onto the next level? Or will people be reassuring him that, listen, you're grand, more of the same?
There isn't a lot he has to do. I think he's not the biggest seconder in the world as regards, he's not 120 kilos or 125 kilos with, some of these big imposing second rows, the South African pairing at the World Cup, their dominance, they're up on 120, 25 kilos. James Ryan is not that heavy. He's maybe 115 or 16
kilos. Does he need to beef up?
I don't think so, because I think it'll affect his game if he a kilo or two here and there, and he's going to naturally grow and get a bit stronger as he gets older as well. He's still relatively young. I just think he needs to not listen to all the experts outside and people commenting on his game. He needs to sit down with, the Irish coaches, Paul O'Connell, Andy Farrell, Simon Easterby, and his Leinster coaches, Leo Cullen, Stuart Lancaster. You always have to continuously work at putting little detail into your carries, Adrian, no matter who you are. You can't, at the top level, if Will Skelton is just, if he's going to be making those carries, teams will target him, and they'll have to target him. And Toulouse will do that in the final. James Ryan, we can all become a little bit predictable. I'm not saying he has become predictable, because he's so impressive the way he accelerates onto some of those carries. Even off slow ball, he can turn slow ball into a quick ruck with his ability. He's a real natural flair and ability for getting between defenders, but. I'd like to see him a little bit more open, running upright, running at centres, running at backs, rather than continuously having to make those hard, hard yards, which can be a bit wearing. And if you get smashed in one or two of them, then everybody says, oh, you're not playing well. His work rate is still very, very high, and that's part of his game, to have loads of involvement. So he doesn't have to do a lot. Continue to do what he's done. Get fit again. The issue isn't he's worn out and that he's bruised and battered. He hasn't played in a long time, and his team, who he played with against La Rochelle, were beaten. A collective kind of, I wouldn't say malfunction, but they were beaten by a very good side in the second half, and just certain things went wrong, collisions, breakdown, their control in the game, and you have the scrutiny then on a player, such a high profile player.
Well, and Gatland, I think the fact that Gatland mentioned that specifically put the spotlight on it as well. He mentioned him in that game.
A little bit frustrating, because I think, and it is difficult when you bust onto the scene and have the level that James Ryan was able to perform So he's able to do that, and he's able to influence games like that. Maybe he is a bit fatigued. Maybe he's a bit tired. I don't know. Only he would know that. But match practice, you become battle hardened, and he's had those few knocks, and that maybe has just stopped his contact in training and all that stuff. So sometimes you can be out injured and you can still do a lot of contact and the physical weights and all that stuff. So I would imagine with the concussion he had, that that was limited over the injury time he was out. So of course there's more scrutiny when the Lions coach mentions it, but James Ryan can play well tonight against Ulster, and you know, gradually, he doesn't have to, you know, do this tonight. He can do it over a couple of weeks, and he could still, he's a guy that still could be in South Africa. And someone like James Ryan, if he got called into the squad, could suddenly be challenging for a test spot. He's that good.
I was listening with interest to Roy Keane last night. We've been talking a fair bit about it this morning, so particularly about the mentality of Manchester United and about the Europa League particularly, and how it wasn't on a priority list and how it's of not much value to them. And I got to thinking about how it actually probably is of great value to Manchester United, where they're at the minute, with the possibility to win a bit of silverware that might not have been admittedly what they set out on. And I wondered about if it's a stretch to think that the Rainbow Cup might be a similar thing for Munster if they can continue in the vein of form that they're in, that despite the negative sentiment that exists around the tournament, that actually winning it for Munster would be brilliant for this group.
Yeah, well, it's not a priority for Roy Keane, because look at the level he was at and the level his team were at, competing in Europe and winning leagues. And, you know, you set the bar high, and that's what they did, and they did it brilliantly. So I understand what he's saying. But for this current United team, and we won't go along in the football, it's a trophy, and Munster, there is similarities. You know, Munster have to get their hands on a trophy. I think they're probably the one team that would be most disappointed. If Leinster don't win the Rainbow Cup, they're not going to give the whole summer pining over that. I think they'll carry the disappointment to Europe. They'll be pleased that they won the Pro 14 again. And their ambitions and standard is that little bit higher than the other provinces based on what they've won in the last number of years. For Munster, yeah, of course, win a trophy. It's a big psychological boost. And I think they can also build in a lot of development for next year, I think, i.e. the way they play, bringing in more players, giving more game time. I think there's 9 changes again this week, and the team looks strong. It looks like they have a bit of depth. So there's a lot to play for. Connacht, you know, they've got to react after last week. They were bullied, beaten up. So everybody has different motivations. Ulster in a difficult place after 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was, you know, the light was shining fairly brightly for them. So it's different. As I said, nobody's going to be crying if they don't win the Rainbow Cup, but you can still get a lot out of it. And they're all professional athletes, Adrian. You know, the fans are not getting excited here, but the players have to create their own excitement, because, you know, you can be judged in a very negative way if your attitude is not right here. And I think Munster have probably the most to gain. Now, there is talk that potentially the winners of the South African Rainbow Cup would play the winners of the Pro 14 Rainbow Cup, which would be...
They're figuring it out, Quinny, as they go.
They're kind of figuring out. We had this chat a few weeks ago. It's now it's 5 games now with a final. There's rumours now that final will be the top in the Northern Conference against the Southern Conference, which is South Africa, which would be great from a tournament point of view if we got that final. The fear for Munster is Leinster are going to... I think they're going to win the rest of their games. They reacted brilliantly last week against Connacht. They've Ulster tonight. They'll win that. I think they'll beat Glasgow away and Dragons at home. So I think Leinster are probably going to be second. That's not the best news for Munster because, you know, if Leinster get themselves to a final, well...
And the big guns are out tonight.
It's a harder game.
I was looking at the team sheets for tonight, and Munster have definitely left a couple of them out. But I did wonder if I'm the likes of Tadhg Furlong, that we've been discussing about, or Robbie Henshaw, are you kind of in the back of your mind somewhere thinking, Jesus, will you just leave me out for a few weeks? I don't want to be... This is not somewhere I want to be at this point ahead of a Lions tour.
Yeah, I think so. I was, but look, they'll probably... they'd probably get a break in the next week or two. I think it will be factored in. They're not going to play every week. It's risky, you know, and it's, but the other option, Adrian, is they don't play and they get wrapped in cotton wool, and that can have a negative effect on them and their whole form and everything. So when you're going well and your form is good and you're battle hardened, there's always a risk. There's always a chance here that someone will pick up a knock. I think on average about six players who get originally picked on the Lions tours, it averages around five or six, actually don't ever, you know, get to play for various different reasons.
All sorts of reasons.
And injuries are the main ones, you know, because people do pick up bangs and knocks, and that's unfortunate. So they've got to stay switched on, particularly someone like Caelan Doris. If he has a run of matches, he'll grab the attention of Gatland again. You know, James Ryan, as I said, Ringrose, even Keith Earls, I think he was superb in the Six Nations. CJ Stander, he's probably going to be back in South Africa. He could be a ready-made replacement there for any of the back rows if they go down. So they've got to stay switched on and keep their attitudes right. Nobody outside of, you know, nobody's getting too excited. But I think for Munster, I think there is a great opportunity here to go to a final and maybe win a trophy. And you can get a lot out of that. But look, it's looking at the fixtures, they probably, there's no guarantees, but they should win their five games on paper.
You don't share the Roy Keane mentality, Quinny, is the my main takeaway from
No, I do. Well, if I went back to the European, if I went back to the team I played in 06 and 08, and we were winning European Cups, our goal and our drive and our desire, no matter what happened every year, was to win the European Cup. And if we didn't win the Pro 14 or the league at the time, we were disappointed, but that didn't break us. What broke us is when we were knocked out of Europe or lost the semi-final or final. So I can understand what he's saying. Times have changed, you know, and Munster haven't won a trophy since 2011. So, and it's similar for Manchester United. They haven't won a trophy, you know, they haven't won the league in a good few years. They haven't won the European Cup in a long time. So, you know, it's a similar situation. So it just changes. And I understand his mentality and our mentality at the time when we were challenging for European Cups was the same. You know, it wouldn't excite me a Rainbow Cup at the end of this. If I was knocked out of Europe, it wouldn't excite me at the end of the year, given where we were at the time.
It was the be-all and end-all, Quinny, thanks a million. Catch up with you next week.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Thanks a lot. 9:33 on this Friday morning, OTB AM, live in association with Gillette. Good morning's start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
If Davy Byrne starts running, lads, with the ball, there's absolutely no chance of me catching him. I don't think if I drove a Fiesta after him, I'd catch him.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.